Now we see good churches. These guys are creeping in. Once solid church is turning the way of wicked men, people have crept in unnoticed. I hope you have God's view towards people like this, and I hope you run away and get in the biblical church. If you don't, that just exposes where your heart is, where your love for the Lord is.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, today you'll be continuing your look at false teachers, and there's some very strong words for those who would follow false teachers or false prophets.
Yes, I will, Dave, but as we're going to see, those words are out of love. You see, the Lord God loves us, and He doesn't want us to be deceived and caught up in false teaching. He wants us to be set free. So with this in mind, let's turn to our passage, which is in Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 1 to 7.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
So that no one has turned back from his wickedness. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? All of them have become to me like Sodom and the inhabitants of Gomorrah. Thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets. Behold, I'm going to feed them wormwood. I'm going to make them drink poisonous water. For from the prophets of Jerusalem, pollution has gone forth into all the land. God doesn't miss this. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who are prophesying to you. They are leading you into futility or emptiness. They speak a, look at this, a vision from their own imagination, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you will have peace. This is what's happening in churches after church these days. This morning, they're saying that to all kinds of people in their sins who need a Savior, who despise the Lord, and everyone who walks in the sternness of his own heart. They say, calamity will not come on you. But who has stood in the counsel of the Lord that he should see and hear his word? Who has given heed to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord has gone forth in wrath, even a whirling tempest. It will swirl down on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he's performed and carried out the purposes of his heart. In the last days, you will clearly understand. I did not send these prophets, but they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, they would have announced my words to my people and turned them back from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Pretty straightforward. They speak from their own imaginations, from their own hearts, their own spirits, rather than the Spirit of God. If it's from the Spirit of God, it's going to be the Word of God. You know, people ask me at times, what's so wrong with these denominations and these secret churches? In a nutshell, their work is from man, not from God. That's what's wrong with it, and that's pretty bad. The Lord is not with them. There is a dividing line. False prophets and false teachers speak from their own hearts and minds rather than speaking the word of the Lord. One of the ways to identify the false teacher is to listen to the message. I'm not telling you to do it if you know they're false, but if you test what pastors say, if they're preaching properly and exposing the word of God, expositing it, bringing forth the word of God, or is it from someone's mind? We have a church these days, and even solid churches, that are yielding to the false teachers who have crept in, who are trying to help them spare their ministries by changing their music and all sorts of stuff and lightening the sermons, whatever it might be. These are bad guys who have crept in unnoticed. And ultimately, they don't confront sin because they want to keep people in the church. We're going to see in a little bit that they live well in the midst of spiritual ruin. They love it. You see, we're commanded to preach the word, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. You don't have that happening in your church. You got something going on that's wrong. You got someone preaching from their own inspiration. Because God says to do that. You know, the Apostle Paul said he had no blood on his hands because he did not shrink back from declaring all that was profitable. He didn't shrink back. He declared the whole counsel of God. And there's a lot of spiritual blood on those pastors who shrink back from repentance. You hear them, they're speaking, it's true, it's true, it's true, and they get all the way up to the point where they're going to address sin, and they stop. Reproofs are a way of life. Proverbs. God uses this word to reprove us because we're sinful and we need reproof. I was effectively taught in seminary to preach from my own imagination. as they taught us how to do stories and stuff. And by God's grace, I didn't buy into it for a minute. They taught us how to preach to people's felt needs. Okay? Ultimately, with man's wisdom, rather than declaring the word of God. Those are evil people. Bad. Our passage says they prophesy from their own inspiration and have seen nothing. As I mentioned earlier in 2 Peter 1, no prophecy of scriptures of one's own interpretation, but men moved by the Spirit spoke from God. We're told in 1 Peter chapter 4, whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. Speak the word of God. The text didn't say sit on a chair and dialogue, use movie clips, tell jokes, give stories. If you have a speaking gift, share the word of God. Woe to anyone who proclaims his own heart rather than the word of God. Folks, God allows false prophets and false teachers to see where our love is at. And if you love the Lord less, if you love them, it's going to be exposed. What do you love most about those who teach you? Do you love God's word? Or do you love how it makes you feel? The purpose-driven life is a test to see if you love God. The secret-sensitive church is a test to see if you love God. The church service that's an hour of music and 26 minutes of sermon is a test to see if you love God. It's a test. The prophets of Israel prophesied from their own inspiration, and God was now going to bring it to a brutal end. Now notice, we learn more about them. Look at our passage, okay? Because we see the characteristics of these people and how they can stay in such evil situations. Look at verse 4, back in Ezekiel 13. O Israel, your prophets have been like foxes among ruins. You go, well, what's that about? Now remember, he is continuing his condemnation. Woe to the false prophets. Ezekiel prophesied against them. This is a condemnation. So this is a condemning statement. Now here we have the picture of a fox scavenging for food among ruins, or some say the desert, but it really is the idea of ruins here. Just like sly foxes profit from destruction, scavenging food, so did Israel's prophets. They profited from the spiritual ruin of Israel. We got to learn this to spot them, okay? They were flourishing and they were at home in spiritual ruin. You wonder why pastors can stay in the midst of churches that don't deal with sin and do not preach the word? I posit to you, they are like foxes among ruins. Scavenging among the ruins, profiting on the spiritual ruin of people. They're not good people, folks. The bad guys love the spiritual ruin around them. We see this in Jude. We see this in 2 Peter. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. These bad guys profit in that. 2 Peter chapter 2, and I ain't going to read the whole chapter, but I'm just going to go to verse 12. And it's speaking of these false teachers, by the way. But these, like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct to be captured and killed, reviling where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed. Hey, false guys are going to be destroyed, by the way. Suffering wrong as the wages of doing wrong. They count it pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are stains and blemishes, reveling in their what? Deceptions. They revel in it. As they carouse with you, having eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having heart trained in greed, accursed children, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. They're at home with spiritual ruin. They love and revel in their deceptions around you, false teachers do. These churches that are in spiritual ruin, people claiming to be Christians, but sin is rampant. Just look at their youth groups, by the way. Pastors who are profiting by and totally content with spiritual ruin. Woe to them. That's what God says. Let's not be naive. Satan disguises himself as a servant of righteousness. So do his servants. And even believers can think satanically when we think with the world's wisdom. Remember Peter? When the Lord Jesus had to reprove him after he said, "Whoa, Lord, may it not be," when the Lord told him he's going to go to the cross. He turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on God's interest, but man's." Now these guys, that's the way they function. That's their MO. Thus says the Lord, but it's from their own inspiration. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. They disguise themselves. And no wonder, for even Satan disguised as an angel of light, therefore it's not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end should be according to their deeds. Now notice, not only do they flourish in spiritual ruin, again, we're getting a good picture of them here, they do not confront sin. Look at verse 5. You have not gone up into the breaches, nor did you build the wall around the house of Israel to stand in the battle on the day of the Lord. The term breaches speaks of a bursting crack or a hole. It's like someone in battle breaking through the lines. They're breaching the line, right? And so what enemy did Israel allow to break through? Which enemy did the prophets allow to break through? It's sin. They allowed it to break through. I believe you see, figuratively, they didn't confront sin. They didn't go into the breaches. And as they were supposed to speak God's word and turn them from their wicked ways, they didn't do so. Nor did they build a wall around the house of Israel to stand in battle on the day of the Lord. They didn't protect him. They didn't protect him from sin. There's nothing new under the sun. Sunday after Sunday, evangelical, mainline, whatever it might be, these people stand up and ignore the scriptures and preach a word that is palatable to a sinful heart. Yeah, they'll share the word. People, oh, wonderful. Oh, they share the word. This church shares the word. I heard the word. Well, you don't hear the whole thing. Don't turn you from your sin. They don't go up into the breaches. They don't build a wall around. We see this also again in Jeremiah 23, verse 16. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you do not listen to the words of the prophets who are prophesying to you, they are leading you into futility. They speak a vision from their own imagination, not from the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you will have peace. They're not dealing with a threat. What's the threat to our souls? It's sin. The church is so naive. If someone shares a Bible verse and speaks of Christ, they say, he's a brother. These men are commanded to preach the word in season out of season, but they don't. You know, Jesus said, you can tell a tree by its fruit. Matthew 7, even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. They're bad trees. You'll know them by their fruit. And what's the fruit? So-called converts who are even more worldly than ever. One must conclude stinking fruit originates from stinking leaders, false prophets and teachers. It's time to wake up. I'm not saying we run around and point out every false teacher in the world. But if you are listening to them, you are involved with, you are compromised with, even with family, you need to get out of there. You need to stand firm in the Lord in a righteous, gracious, righteous way. So then, these false prophets speak from their own imaginations. They are at home in spiritual ruin. They don't confront sin or protect the flock. And look at what they see is false. They're liars. Verse 6, they see falsehood and lying divination who are saying, the Lord declares, when the Lord has not sent them, yet they hope for the fulfillment of their word. Did you not see a false vision and speak a lying divination when you said, the Lord declares? But it is not I who have spoken. They see falsehood. That could be translated emptiness. They envision nothing. They see nothing. But they say they see it. They're prophets from the Old Testament. We saw, the Lord showed me this. No, he didn't show you that at all. You saw nothing. And you say, thus says the Lord. It all comes from your heart, not from the Lord. And they speak a lying divination. Divination is not good, by the way. They're liars. And they're speaking for God. It's falsehood and it's a lie. Folks, that's from Satan. Satan is the father of lies, John 8. Their message is a man-centered message. Again, I told you they were teaching us at seminaries to preach a man-centered message to make man responsible if they'll come to Jesus or whatever it might be, rather than preaching the word of God and obeying the Lord. James chapter 3 makes it clear that the wisdom from below, that is the wisdom, is not which comes from above, but is earthly, natural, but like natural, I don't know about that, and demonic. When we trust in our own hearts, when we lean on our own understanding, when we listen to a message from a pastor that has come from his heart, deceitfully packaged as God's word, rather than giving the word of God, we're listening to that which is demonic, and it is a lie, no matter how much the guy's a nice guy or says Jesus. Now notice, they speak for the Lord when he hasn't sent them. Verse 6, they see falsehood, emptiness. You could say they envision falsehood, they envision emptiness. And lying divination, who are saying the Lord declares when the Lord has not sent them. Every pastor that stands up in the pulpit is saying the Lord declares. They're speaking for the Lord. Yet they hope in the fulfillment of their word. Did you not see a false vision and speak a lying divination when you said the Lord declares? But it is not I who has spoken. The Lord makes it clear. It's out of their own hearts, their own inspiration. It's falsehood and lying divination. These false prophets lie. And what's their big lie? The Lord declares. When it's not from the Lord at all, it is from them. That's the big lie. But the truth is the Lord has not sent them. And yet, they're so twisted, they hope in the fulfillment of their own false visions, right? They hope for the fulfillment of their word. They believe their own news clippings. They love their own twisted message and hope it's fulfilled. Israel's false prophets were prophesying falsely from their own hearts, basically saying to Israel, peace and safety, when God was saying, judgment is coming if you don't repent. It's the same message, as I mentioned today, in many churches, especially the mainline denominations. You're okay with God because he loves you. Well, you're only okay with God if your sins are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you've been changed, you're going to have a new heart that doesn't want to sin and grieves over it when you do and confesses it. You're not going to be saying it's okay to live in this perverted ways and I'm okay with God. But they'll tell you you're okay. They'll put up little flags in front of their churches saying, you're just fine. Come in here. God rebukes them flat out. But it is not I who have spoken. False vision, lying divination. Look at Jeremiah chapter 14. And we'll start with verse 14. They got comforting messages, by the way. Bad guys come. You go there, you can feel good. You can feel so good going out. You feel great. Jeremiah 14:14. Then the Lord said to me, the prophets are prophesying falsehood in my name. I have neither sent them, nor commanded them, nor have spoken to them. They are prophesying to you a false vision, divination, futility, and the deception of their own minds. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who are prophesying in my name, although it was not I who sent them, yet they keep saying, there shall be no sword or famine or in the land. By sword and famine, these prophets shall meet their end. They're done. They will be judged. You know, and we see in 2 Peter that they are going to be destroyed. That pits of black darkness is prepared for them. They're not redeemable in that context. We don't know the heart, but we're going to stay away from them because they are dangerous. And God says he'll take care of them, just like he did Sodom and Gomorrah, just like he did the angels who left their abode. Serious thing. Despite how sincere they may be, how comforting the message was, they didn't speak for God. It's a lying divination. Verse 8, then in our passage, we'll see this more next time. Therefore, it says the Lord God, because you have spoken falsehood and seen a lie, therefore, behold, I am against you, declares the Lord. It's a serious thing to speak for God and not speak his word. It's a serious thing to speak for God and to lie. To speak from your own heart is a lie because our wisdom is earthly, natural, and demonic. We need to get that God's wisdom. So let me ask you this. What is your view of denominational pastors who continually lessen, omit, and twist the word of God and fill the gap with their own wisdom, who wink at sin? What's your view? You better realize they're dangerous and they're going to be judged. You stay away from them. Same thing with these secret churches. And now we see good churches. These guys are creeping in. Once solid church is turning the way of wicked men, people have crept in unnoticed. I hope you have God's view towards people like this, and I hope you run away and get in a biblical church. If you don't, that just exposes where your heart is, where your love for the Lord is. I want to share one last portion from 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's turn there. In the context of the mockers who say God's judgment's not coming, the day of the Lord won't come, the Lord says it will come, but he's patient, not willing for any to perish. But that day will come, and therefore we ought to be behaving differently in light of what God's going to do to sin and sinners, right, in judgment. And he talks about the Apostle Paul speaking in his letters also in the Scriptures. And he says in verse 16 of 2 Peter 3, as also in all his letters, speaking in them things in which some things are hard to understand, That's, I believe, certain passages that churches have mistaken and messed up, okay? And which the untaught and unstable distort as they do the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. People distort and twist the word of God for destruction. Then notice this. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, that people take the difficult scriptures and twist them and distort them to their own destruction. Knowing this beforehand, you now know this. We all know this now. We've heard it. He says here, you therefore, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard. Remember what Paul said? He warned them day in and day out for 3 years. Be on your guard, lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, you fall from your own steadfastness. Be on guard for these bad guys. But in contrast, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity forever. Amen. He said earlier, you've got everything you need in his precious and magnificent promises. You've got everything you need in his word. You have the Lord in his word. So how can we keep from being ensnared by false teachers? First of all, we need to understand why he allows them. He's testing us. He's showing you where your heart is really at. The church you go to reveals where your heart is at towards God. I'll just tell you that right now. It reveals that. And we need to also recognize and believe what God says about false teachers. We need to see them from his perspective, not ours. When you look at a man from your perspective, a teacher, you've got to look at it from God's perspective. The word of God is your judge. It is what judges it. It is what shows you what is right and wrong. They're unbelieving fools. They follow their own spirit. They're at home in spiritual ruin. They've not confronted sin. They see falsehood and lying divination. They speak for the Lord when he has not sent them, and their doom is sure. So then, there's two types of prophets and two types of teachers, nothing in between, false and true. You have two types of messages, man-centered, but thus says the Lord, or God-centered with God's word coming forth. What you love will show you where your heart is at. Are you listening to a message that comes from the inspiration of someone's heart? Are you endeared towards them because family, whatever it might be? Stand firm in the Lord. When the Lord Jesus was told that his brothers and sisters were there, his mother, he said, who are my mother and my brothers and sisters? Those who obey the word of God, right? Those who and do it, right? See that? So then, do we have an affinity for any slick man-centered message, or are we hungry for the word of God?
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up this broadcast, it would seem from your message that there are many, many false teachers today. In fact, so many that it might actually be hard to find a church led by a real, true shepherd.
Well, Dave, you're right. It's a pretty dim and dark time right now. It seems like the word is out of season and false teachers are certainly in season. Yet, with that in mind, the reality is God is a good God, and he has laid forth what he desires for us in his word, what he desires for us. And I believe if you're diligent in looking for a biblical church unwilling to compromise, that God will be faithful and lead you to those who are teaching and preaching his word. Okay, well, with this in mind, we're not done with our look at false teachers from the book of Ezekiel. So make plans to join us for our next broadcast of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lunstead, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.